Broadcasting from Lockport, New York, it's time for The Dads Must Be Crazy. Just three guys raising kids and currently hiding from them in an undisclosed tool shed to talk about parenting, pop culture, and penguins, or something else that starts with a P. It's Craig, the stay-at-home dad historian and hockey enthusiast. Howie, the stay-at-home dad who used to be a reporter when journalism was a thing. And Bobby, the retired Army vet, Trekkie, and gamer, helping to raise three kids in beautiful Western New York. Now, here's the dads.
Welcome to The Dads Must Be Crazy. I am Craig, joined by Howie.
Hi, everybody.
And Bobby.
Howdy.
I put you in order. I see you on my screen. There's no rhyme or reason. So, yes, we are in three separate locations because we are still in Western New York, which has not been allowed to reopen for various reasons. But we're trying anyway. We're going to try this whole distance learning of podcasting. I'm not sure how that's going to work out, but I did some tests this past week and 2 weeks now with the Shenanigans crew, and it seems to be working. Hopefully Shenanigans will get restarted tomorrow night. But in the meantime, how you guys been doing stuck at home for 2 months?
Bobby, you can go first.
It has its moments. I mean, there's times where you're like, you know, I'm going to choke the hell out of everybody. There's moments where you're like, you know what? It's not so bad. It really depends on everything that's going on. I mean, here recently, you know, I've had, you know, a few more downs than I have ups, but, you know, just trying to refocus myself, get back in the kitchen, do some more cooking, you know, making stuff I haven't made before, like chicken cacciatore. I made that last night. I'm doing...
You made that last night.
Yeah, it was actually really good. And then today I'm making homemade carnitas, which I've done before. I'm just in the mood for Mexican food. And so make homemade carnitas, homemade Mexican rice to go with it. Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see. Been working out a lot. So, yeah.
Let's see. I tackled a couple major projects in my house in terms of cleaning. For instance, the basement has been a thorn in my side pretty much since we moved into this place. But the previous owners did leave a pro-form weight bench with like a Nautilus thing, some plates, and, you could put a barbell, like a bench press barbell, dumbbell type, the bar. You could put the bar on. I don't have one of those, though, so I'm going to have to get one of those. But I, too, decided, you know what, I'm going to turn 40 this year. I want to actually, like, meet it in okay shape. So I've been working out for a month straight. I actually was able to go down a whole notch on my belt the other day without feeling constricted. So that was nice. I've cooked about 4,000 dinners in the last 2 months. Last night I made, you know, and some of them are fun. And unique. Some of them are extraordinarily easy. When I go grocery shopping, I make sure I get enough frozen pizzas and other things to tide us over for lunches and a couple other quick meals. The major bugaboo of a bedroom that was my youngest bedroom has been finally addressed, although she's still not sleeping in there full time, which is annoying. My middle daughter, her room is clean, has been kept that way. Our upstairs living room is not. I've done a lot of cleaning, and there's the high traffic areas in the house are the ones that get the worst damage, and I still got to go tackle some of that today because my in-laws are coming over to celebrate my youngest birthday, which is today. So my wife's birthday was yesterday, and my other daughter's birthday is the 22nd. And the beauty of this whole thing going on right now, if I want to look at a silver lining, is that being home, the only refereeing I've had to do is between my daughters, and of course someone's calling. My son has been staying at my in-laws. So I wish my daughter would pick that up. That's my aunt. I'll call her back later.
That's the luxury of having, you know, the dangers of having three different places at once trying to record.
True. But one of the things I was able to do since I've been home, you know, trying to keep my sanity is Craig and Bobby, I'm sure you've noticed, but Craig, you know this more than Bobby might, is the reading, the movies, the reviews, and some things. I wish I had done more of them, but I've caught up on some things that I've wanted to read, some things I've wanted to watch.
I've like barely Bobby watched said, anything. I mean, every time I think I want the television.
My wife has binge-watched some really trashy reality TV, and I'll be in the background having it, you know, go on. I'm like, I don't know what she's watching, and it's like a train wreck. So I'll get involved in some of it. I'm like, this is this is kind of silly, but I won't sit and binge watch a show because if I want to sit and watch it, I'm getting nothing else done. And if I get nothing else done, then it becomes an issue later on. So, but no, the big issue is all the cooking. I feel like I spend 4 hours a day in the kitchen.
Yeah, I seem to spend a lot of time in the kitchen myself. I'm with you. You know, I've done a lot of projects around the house. You know, the wife and I got all the stuff planted out in the garden today. We ripped down a couple of a shelf in the dining room, not dining room, but the kitchen, patched the ceiling. And now we have full use of our butcher block, which is fantastic. Put shelves in the utility closet. Been working on the garage a little bit here and there, but I need to get a shed for the backyard, but they're all sold out because I was going to buy one yesterday. And so I'm like, man, you know, so I mean, yeah, projects abound, but I will say this. I did binge watch Cobra Kai seasons 1 and 2.
Is it not excellent?
And I thought that it was everything I thought it was going to be and more. And I was like, oh my damn, like this is awesome. Like
it's everything you never knew you wanted.
It really is. But then I'm watching the series and I'm like, oh my God, this is like my childhood, like re-imaged and stuff. So it was really good.
The season 3 is delayed because of the whole...
Yeah, because...
We lost Howie. Yeah, we did. Well, he'll jump back in. But I can tell you what I've been doing. And that has been, we did a project, which was like a year and a half in the making. Here comes Howie back again. 2 years ago, we took all the wallpaper out of our entryway and up the stairwell and down the hallway upstairs. And so it's been raw wall up until now. And so I got it primed and painted for the downstairs portion and anything you can see from downstairs. So up the stairwell to the landing is all painted. I still have to finish the rest of it. But the other thing that's happened is I lost my job through this indefinitely. They kind of gave us a date that we could return, but that one has been tough for me. I love my job, so it makes it very difficult to not be able to do it. But I feel that with this time, I can do other things. There's other doors that will open, so I'm going to finish up a book I've been working on. I have another writing project in the works, and I'm just going to utilize the time I have to do that. And if I ever get through unemployment, what a pain in the butt New York State unemployment has been. It's been nothing but trouble. I'm hoping that clears up hopefully this week. And my coworkers had even worse problems with it, so we'll see what happens. But I'm not typically a sad person. I have anger issues. I go to anger management, but I have not really had any anger problems during this time, but I've had sad problems. Like I just kind of mope a little bit because you can't go out and do anything. I'm a very social creature. So not being able to see anything, see anyone, go to any concerts, it's been bothering me. We did go for a walk the other night with a dog, and around the corner, there's a couple and they have a dog also, and they're both teachers, and we stood in their front yard. They stood in farther in on their front yard. We were probably 10 to 12 feet apart, and we just talked for like an hour. So I mean, that was a cool thing. And then hopefully Thursday, Tedeschi Trucks Band has a live stream every Thursday night, and I'm going to project it on the back of the house. And if anyone happens to be driving by, well, you know, free show.
Not bad. I might have to come over and bring a chair and sit, you know, 7 feet away from you.
Right.
So I'm outside the 6 feet barrier.
I got cut off a minute ago. Bobby, Cobra Kai should be released at some point when the quarantine all ends. I guess part of the third season.
Did we lose him again?
Yeah, I think so.
He froze up.
Guys are frozen again.
No, okay, well, now I can hear him.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yes, we can. All our listeners, this is new, and we're working our way through it.
Yeah. So, Bobby, I see a Funko behind you on the bookcase back there.
Oh, you mean one of the little pop thingies?
Yeah, which two are those?
That is Captain Picard and Worf.
Okay. I've got 8 around me. They're not in the picture. So I've got Parzival and Artemis from Ready Player One.
Mm.
I've got Tron and Sark from Tron. Here's a Jon Snow, Doc Brown.
My kids watched Back to the Future for the first time last week.
The fact that that took that long is disturbing, but still awesome that they got to watch it and enjoyed it.
They had to watch the other two also, and I'm like, really, do you want to watch part 3?
Part 3 is fun.
Eh.
Here's Goliath from Gargoyles, which I know Craig doesn't give a shit about. Pardon my French. And then I saw this one at Barnes & Noble about a couple months ago. I figured I need to buy this. You guys recognize who that is?
That's me. And he's gone again. We'll never know.
We'll never know. Holy cow.
Howie's having technical difficulties. It's probably a user error. He probably needs a new user.
I haven't really been binge watching a lot of stuff. I've been caught up on The Expanse. So I'm waiting on, I think it's season 5 to come out.
I've got to watch it. I haven't watched it at all. I need to.
It is fantastic. Fantastic. I'm waiting on season 7 of The 100 to come out so we can finish that series up.
That should be any time, I think.
I think it's next month it comes out. Next month or the month after. And then I think Star Trek Discovery season 3 comes out next month. You know, there's some good TV that's coming out. You know, I've been doing a little reading here and there, mostly true crime and stuff, because that's one of my favorite genres. You just try not to go insane and stir crazy, because I know this lockdown in Western New York's probably getting to more people than they would like to admit. So
I think the dangers of being isolated are going to, in retrospective, when we look back at this later, are going to be just as damning as the deaths from the actual virus.
Yeah. I mean, the thing that a lot of people really aren't talking about is the mental health effects of this. You know, humans are social creatures, and we, you know, desire interaction with each other. I mean, even if it's, you know, I'm going to sit down next to you, we're going to eat this bag of chips and watch this football game, and we don't say anything. We're in the presence of another friend, and we're doing something together. I mean, we're sitting here, we're all locked down, can't see your friends. Like, I saw Walden yesterday. Walden drove by my house, and I waved at him, and, you know, we both kind of gave an enthusiastic wave. He's like, hey, I know that guy.
Right.
I mean, I've seen people out walking throughout the neighborhood. I got kids riding bikes up and down the street. So, I mean, not a whole lot has changed. What's mostly changed is businesses are shut down. You got to think about the mental health toll on those, the owners and the employees. You know, they're not making money. They can't put food on the table. I mean, how many people are going to commit suicide because of this?
Exactly.
You know? It's a hot mess. I mean, the survival rate is like 99.97 or 98%.
The problem, dude, I think, is that the infection rate is so much higher if you're out there. Oh, Howie's back, maybe. You know what I mean? So if like your typical, I don't know the numbers exactly, but your typical flu is like 0.4 infections per person. Then like this is like 1.2, so it's like three times as infectious. Whether it's as deadly or not is besides the point. It's just how fast it moves, I think, is got what most people are concerned about. But I'm not a doctor. I like to play one, but I am not a doctor.
Yeah. And I mean, that's really the big thing is most of the people who have, well, not most, but I think it's a third of all people who have succumbed to this virus are those that are in nursing homes. And right. Now that's not counting those that aren't in nursing homes, but have pre-existing conditions and all that other stuff.
So we ever find out how he's back. That little thing was me, right?
No. Oh, that was Michael J. Fox and Teen Wolf.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my God. I just made my kids watch all three of the Back to the Futures.
That's what we did.
My little ones, anyway. And they absolutely loved it.
Did you guys happen to catch Josh Gad doing his Reunited Apart series on YouTube, where he got all of the cast of the Goonies together, and then part two, like the second installment of the whole thing, he reunited the cast of Back to the Future? It was actually worth a watch. You know, I laughed a few times, and it was just kind of very nostalgia heavy, and it was fun to watch.
How was Biff? So, was Biff there?
Biff showed up at the end of it. Like, he wasn't part of the main thing. He was like a call in separately. He's like, hey, Butthead, part of this? Yeah. And then at the very, very end of it, after the credits, some lady's voice going, hello, are you there? And then it shows it's Claudia Wells, the original Jennifer. She goes, I guess I wasn't, you know, important enough, but I'm here. And basically he's doing these things to raise money for a couple different causes going on right now with all of COVID stuff. So it was kind of very, very cool for everybody to be involved and see everybody in one place. And they reenacted a couple different lines. Like the Goonies cast, when they got together, Chunk looks like the three of us right now. He's like more or less, you know, our age, and he's been working out, and he's somewhat, you know, but the difference is he's sitting on a throne, and they're like, you look like the only movie star out of all of us, because everybody else is just sitting here, you know, jeans and a t-shirt. He's like in a robe and a crown. He's like, yeah, I'm a lawyer now. It's like, okay, don't mess with this guy. But they reenacted some scenes like table read type stuff. It was kind of cool to watch.
So something else that happened while we've been in our lockdown, our American sequester, I had my twins turn 16. I have two kids who are driving age who can't get their permits. Cannot get their permits, and that has been...
Have they threatened to move to Georgia where they could just drive without anything?
Have they threatened to move out? Well, one is threatened to move out regardless, so...
I'm not laughing at the predicament. I'm just like, wow, okay, apparently all of a sudden we're 16 and we've got the world by the jimmy.
Hey, we know everything at 16, right?
In my house, that happened at 13.
So you guys both have summer birthdays. I had a winter birthday, so I learned to drive in the snow. And one of the things the girls right now are talking about, like, Bobby never saw snow until he was in the military, though, so.
No. I saw snow when I was...
It was on TV.
No, I was 16, and it was the first time I went skiing ever.
Okay.
It was the first time I actually... No, we actually got snow in Northeast Texas.
All right.
But not like you would get here. I'd only seen it a handful of times.
So, like, when I was a kid, you could get your permit, and then you could go get your license almost immediately. Now you got to wait 6 months. It's a six-month waiting period for you to get your license. And with May birthdays, which is... What my twins have, that means that November would be the earliest they could get their permits. Well, everything's delayed, so we're moving into winter. And I'm kind of glad for it, because I think that learning to drive in the snow before you get your license is very important. To have somebody in that car with you to tell you how to handle certain things when there's snow on the ground. And once you get your license, you're not really driving with other people who are good drivers. So
this is true.
I'm definitely for them learning to drive in the snow. That's how I learned to drive. Well, that's how I legally learned to drive, was in the snow. Because I think everybody in these three pictures here has probably driven a car before they had a permit. I know Bobby has.
I didn't drive a car until I had a permit.
Really? Well, you kind of... where were you at 16? Weren't you in Olean?
Yeah.
It's kind of rural-ish. You didn't have field cars or friends with field cars or anything? Oh, he froze up again.
Did I get kicked out again?
Nope, you're there.
No, he's there.
No, I got my permit at 16, but I did not drive before I was 16.
Really? I sure did.
Yeah. Well, then you're a rebel, but we knew that.
I could ride dirt bike when I was like 10, so there was that also. So I could ride motorcycles when I was that young.
Technically speaking, I lived in the city of Olean, so I mean, I was...
He was frozen, that's what he was.
There was a couple of things that he liked.
Yeah.
Big city living in a voodoo woman named Phyllis.
Did you drive before you were 16 there, Bobby?
Oh, hell, dude. I'm from Texas. It's a huge thing. I mean, there's open roads and country, you know, country back roads and everything. I mean, right. I learned to drive on the deer lease back home.
Right. And that's what we had. Like, my cousin lived in Medina. And Howie, you know him because I think you've ridden with him. He was the leader of the Fist Bump Revolution. He gave me a ride home one night. Yeah, so he lived out in the outside outskirts of Medina. So we had fields and stuff. We learned to drive out there. And his sister was a little bit older than us. So, like, I'm probably breaking some news here, but we used to take her car and drive it. So, yeah, we drove before that. Now, you guys don't have kids who are old enough to be drivers yet. It's coming, especially you, Bobby. Two more years?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Has she shown any interest in driving at all yet?
No, not yet. And, you know, in a way, it's kind of nice. I mean, eventually she's going to figure out how to get it in, you know, fit driving into her routine, because with the honors classes and then the karate and then doing drama club and all the other stuff, because I know your kids are just as active as mine.
Right.
They will figure it in at some point.
Well, I got one who... probably about a year and a half ago, so she was 6 months after turning 14, started asking questions when we were driving around and started being a little more observant when she was in the car rather than just, you know, looking at her phone the entire time. And I would give her pointers, you know, like, hey, you see how that person stopped? We stopped both at the same time and we're both going straight. He is to the right of me, so he has the right of way unless he waves me through. And then if he waves me through, you wave back. Always wave back if someone waves you through or someone lets you into a crowded line of traffic, and you wave. It's a courtesy wave.
Yes.
A lot of people don't do that anymore, but I am pretty adamant that we do it in our house.
I saw somebody say that they were rude in traffic, and rather than the other person giving more.
You got to go back because you cut out on us. He's gone again.
This guy was rude in traffic.
Okay.
Apparently, he was not flipped off. The person...
We get to the same spot.
And he said that was more insulting.
What happened? Just waved? Because you froze up again.
No, the guy cut somebody off.
Right.
Did something that would have typically resulted in one of us giving the other guy the finger.
Right.
Right? Instead of the person who would have given the finger giving the finger,
yeah,
he gave two thumbs down, which the offender said was actually more insulting and hurt more.
Really? That's cool.
Yeah.
I usually think they're not worth only one finger, so I wave all 10 of them at once.
Oh, yeah. So...
Yeah, that's one thing I don't want to teach my kids is the anger while driving, which people drive angrily, I got to tell you. And now that I don't drive as much, I see it even more.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, like people in grocery stores right now. Holy cow. Like, you're supposed to have a mask on when you go in the grocery store locally. I have seen so many people in the grocery stores without masks. I'm like... Aren't you supposed to enforce this policy? Like, I don't care if I wear a mask or not. I don't care if you wear a mask or not. Like, what's going to happen is going to happen. That's just kind of my view on the thing. I did bioterrorism for 20 years. I'm not a doctor, but I understand how the mechanics of the virus and all that other stuff work and all the psychological effects and all that other crap. This is what I did for 20 years. I got it. Dude, if you're going to have a policy and you're not going to force it, then what's the point of having a policy?
Right. Okay. And you know what? I hear people say that the government can't tell me that I have to wear a mask when I'm in the grocery store. You're absolutely right, but the grocery store can tell you that.
That's
exactly
right.
And the grocery store has a policy, but they're not enforcing their own policy, because I watched a married couple with no mask talking to the butcher within the 6 feet radius, and no one had on a mask. And so, including the employee at the grocery store. And I'm just like,
idiot's gonna idiot.
I gotta tell you, I can only handle about 20 minutes of the mask, and then I have to make an escape. Is that Stella Star on that... Is that a cowboy star on that cup? It sure is.
Oh. Yes.
All right. NFLs have some serious issues this week. Man, do they have issues this week.
Well, the Bills are going to be without their defensive tackle for at least a couple of games, I think.
Three game minimum.
Yeah.
I mean, a DWI and a pistol in his car.
Yeah.
There have been so many. What he did was stupid. He will be penalized, but there have been so many worst offenses than what he did.
How about those two guys from the Giants and the Seattle Seahawks shaking down the gambling crowd there?
Why with that, for instance? Yeah.
I didn't know that one.
They were 70 grand in the hole, $70,000 in the hole gambling. So they whipped out, one of them whipped out a pistol and instructed the other one to take the Rolexes and stuff and take the money and leave. It was pretty rough. Dunbar is the one guy's name. I can't remember the other guy's name.
Hopkins? Is that it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was bad.
It's crazy. Well, this isolation is making us all a little crazy.
It is. Speaking of crazy, I got a 6-year-old today in back behind me. You might be hearing her. I got to go help her out. So I got to run. I apologize for cutting and running like that.
Here's one more question for you, Howie. Did you buy your own car, or did your parents buy your first car?
The first car I had that I was driving with any regularity was like kind of like one that was my parents.
Okay.
Then when I went to college, again, same thing. When I graduated college and needed a car, I bought my own.
Okay.
So, but it was a used one. I graduated college in 02. I wound up getting a 92 or Pontiac. So, yeah. But like I said, I do got to cut and run. So I apologize for not being here as long as I want to do, but we can do more next week.
Howie's got to do dad things.
Yes, I do. I got to go frost cupcakes.
He does.
And we can finish this up about learning to drive real quick too, Bobby.
All right.
I'll talk to you later.
All right. Have a good one, Howie. Right.
Yep. Have a good one. Yeah, because I'm going to have to go I'm going to have to get dinner started early. It's going to take about 3-4 hours to get that done. So
yeah, I figure we go about 5 more minutes, we should be good.
Yeah.
Because we're at 27, so yeah. So anyway, when I wanted to get my license, my dad was pretty adamant. I'm not driving any of his vehicles. That I had to have I'd have enough money to buy my own car, and he would help me buy a car. It would be like a loan through him, and it was called Going on the Calendar. and I was on the calendar for quite a while, and I had to have enough money to buy my own insurance. So when I turned 16, I got my permit and stuff, but I didn't get my license for a long time because, I mean, we could have gotten it like a month later. I was supposed to go to Greece on a school trip, and my dad said, I can either help you pay for Greece or I can help you pay for a car, but we're not doing both. So I thought Greece was more important because it was something that I may never be able to do again until I was much older and stuff. So I chose Greece, and then the Gulf War broke out. So then travel to that area was, nope, we're not. It's not happening.
Yeah.
So I had saved money up, and I was able to buy a car and get my license. But I have the same feeling now. I will help the girls buy a car, but they cannot get their license until they have enough money for insurance and can pay on a car. Besides, and I'm not talking about like a lot of money for a car, but I think it's important to realize that cars cost a lot of money and it's a major responsibility. So they need to, you know, I'm going to help them. I don't want people to think that I'm just leaving them, hanging them out to dry. I will help them, but they definitely need the ability to pay for things themselves. I'm not handing them gas money, I'm not handing them insurance money. If you're responsible enough for a car, you're responsible enough to pay for it and take care of it.
Yeah, and that's one of the things with my oldest is I was like, you know, at some point you're going to get a part-time job when you can. And even if you're only working, you know, 5-6 hours a week and you're making, well, you need to make a little more money, you know, work a little more than that. But, you know, you have part-time jobs. You can put gas in. You can have a little runaround money. You're going to have to figure this out because, you know, I understand that, you know, you want to do all these activities. But at some point, you may not be able to do all these activities and have a full-time job because I'm not just going to be this, you know, ATM machine that gives you cash every time you want to go hang out with friends and put gas in the car and all this other mess. So,
and I honestly have no problem. I know there are other parents say, oh, God, now that you have 16-year-olds, we want to drive them around so much. That's not a concern. Lockport's a small city. It's not that big of a deal to take them to wherever they're going.
No, not at all.
And you know what? I know they do a lot of activities, and like I said, I will help them out. If they're in the middle of, like, they play sports in school, and they get to the last couple of weeks and do the championship time, well, they're going to be more dedicated to that. Well, then, you know, I'll help out then. You know, but overall, that sense of responsibility, I think, is important that we instill in them.
Yeah. You know, and that's another big thing. You have to be responsible with it. You know, you get a speeding ticket or you get into an accident. I mean, depending on, you know, the circumstances of the accident, but you get a ticket for parking in the wrong spot or speeding or reckless driving or something, like, you're toast.
Exactly.
Like, you know, you're behind a 3,500-pound, you know, death machine. Like, it will kill people. It will maim them. You need to understand with this type of, not necessarily the type of the freedom, but with that type of power comes responsibility.
With not great like power comes great responsibility.
Well, not with like, I don't mean like personal power. I mean the power that vehicle has. You know, you're controlling this vehicle, so you're responsible. You know, now unless it like blows a tire or something, and then, you know, blows a tire, shit happens. But, you know, it does something else, you know, like, and you're controlling it, you know, like you drive into a telephone pole or hit a parked car. It's pretty much your fault, you know, like, I mean, it's circumstances depending, but with an automobile comes a lot of responsibility.
Yep. And sometimes I think 16 may be too young for that responsibility. Sometimes.
Yeah. You know, sometimes, but it's good to learn earlier than later in life. I mean, you know, they're talking about giving 16-year-olds the right to vote. And I'm like, half of them can't even make up their mind what they want for breakfast. Hell, 18-year-olds can't even make up their mind for breakfast, and they have the right to vote.
And they have the right to carry a deadly weapon and defend our shores.
They do, but they still can't have a beer.
Or smoke in New York State.
Yeah, you got to be 21 to smoke in New York State now, which I haven't smoked since October of last year.
Wonder how that works like at Fort Drum. If you're a resident of another state and you're stationed at Fort Drum, can you still get a pack of smokes?
You might be able to buy them on base if you're not 21, but if you're outside of the state, like, you have to go by state law, period. So once you leave the military base, now you're on state land.
Right.
So the federal age for cigarettes is 18. So you probably could. I don't know.
Here's a little piece of trivia for you. The law, and they haven't changed it, they just changed the age, is 21 to purchase tobacco products. There's nothing about the consumption of them in the law.
Hmm. So you could have somebody buy them for you and then you can smoke them.
When I was a kid, my grandmother used to give me $5 because a pack of smokes was like $1.25 back in those days.
Yep.
She'd send a note down with me and I'd walk down at like 12 or 13 to the corner store, buy her a pack of Marlboros and take them back up the house. And there was no questions asked. I just handed the clerk the note. They would hand me the cigarettes. I'd give them the money and back I'd go to grandma's house.
I used to do that for my my uncle. Like, he'd be like, hey, run in the gas station and grab me a can of Skoal. And so I'd go in there and get him a can of Chew and bring it back out. I mean, it wasn't a thing. Now we got all these rules in place to start protecting everybody because we can't make decisions for ourselves. But that's a whole other topic.
And you know what? I think we'll probably wrap it up now. There's not a heck of a lot. This is our first one back. We're trying to, you know, get the flow of things going again, which is one of the things I was deathly afraid of, that especially with the Shenanigans group, we have a flow to our show. And when we take days off and stuff, it kind of suffers for it. We've been on for 2 months for both podcasts. So, you know, there's going to be some squeaky wheels going on until we figure out exactly how to get this all back going again. Luckily, we know what we're doing. So that, well, we think we know what we're doing. So
there you go.
It shouldn't take as long to get back into the swing of things.
No, hopefully not. Hopefully when we enter phase one, we can start getting together again in the group and start getting back at it. So, there should be enough material. I mean, there's been plenty of people doing stupid stuff during this.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, there's always Florida. So,
yes.
I mean, yeah, there'll be plenty of stuff to make fun of.
All right. Well, thanks, Bobby, for joining us and doing this whole thing again. And hopefully we'll be able to move forward and do more shows. We'll keep an eye on our phases so we can get back together as needed. But for now, I think we're going to do it like this. It's a little more of a tricky setup because Google Meets is a little more tricky on how they record. I kind of had to bypass a couple things to make it work right, but don't tell Google. And so for Howie and Bobby, I'm Craig. Thanks for listening to the Dads Must Be Crazy. The Dads Must Be Crazy would like to thank Scott Leffler for putting together our awesome intro to the show. And thank you to Amanda Hodge, who helps us with our designs and logos. Intro and outro music provided by Incomtech.com. Our theme music is Retro Future Clean by Kevin McLeod, licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license.